They all saw it at the same time, a streak of light that came flying across the yard and onto the table, where it resolved itself into a bright silver weasel, which stood on its hind legs and spoke with Mr. Weasley's voice. "Minister of Magic, coming with me." The Patronus dissolved into thin air, leaving Fleur's family peering in astonishment at the place where it had vanished. "We shouldn't be here," said Lupin at once. "Harry, I'm sorry. I'll explain another time." He seized Tonks's wrist and pulled her away. They reached the fence, climbed over it, and vanished from sight. Mrs. Weasley looked bewildered.
"The minister? But why? I don't understand."
But there was no time to discuss the matter. A second later, Mr. Weasley had appeared out of thin air at the gate, accompanied by Rufus Scrimgeour, instantly recognizable by his mane of grizzled hair. The two newcomers marched across the yard toward the garden and the lantern-lit table, where everybody sat in silence, watching them draw closer. As Scrimgeour came within range of the lantern light, Harry saw that he looked much older than the last time they had met, scraggy and grim.
"Sorry to intrude," said Scrimgeour, as he limped to a halt before the table, "especially as I can see that I am gatecrashing a party."
His eyes lingered for a moment on the giant snitch cake.
"Many happy returns."
"Thanks," said Harry.
"I require a private word with you," Scrimgeour went on. "Also with Mr. Ronald Weasley and Miss Hermione Granger."
"Us?" said Ron, sounding surprised. "Why us?"
"I shall tell you that when we are somewhere more private," said Scrimgeour. "Is there such a place?" he demanded of Mr. Weasley.
"Yes, of course," said Mr. Weasley, who looked nervous. The sitting room. Why don't you use that?"
"You can lead the way," Scrimgeour said to Ron. "There will be no need for you to accompany us, Arthur."
Harry saw Mr. Weasley exchange a worried look with Mrs. Weasley as he, Ron, and Hermione stood up. As they led the way back to the house in silence, Harry knew that the other two were thinking the same as he was. Scrimgeour must, somehow, have learned that the three of them were planning to drop out of Hogwarts. Scrimgeour did not speak as they all passed through the messy kitchen and into the Burrows' sitting room. Although the garden had been full of soft golden evening light, it was already dark in here. Harry flicked his wand at the oil lamps as he entered, and they illuminated the shabby but cosy room. Scrimgeour sat himself in the sagging armchair that Mr. Weasley normally occupied, leaving Harry, Ron, and Hermione to squeeze side by side onto the sofa. Once they had done so, Scrimgeour spoke.
"I have some questions for the three of you, and I think it will be best if we do it individually. If you two," he pointed at Harry and Hermione, "can wait upstairs, I will start with Ronald."
"We're not going anywhere," said Harry, while Hermione nodded vigorously. "You can speak to us together, or not at all." Scrimgeour gave Harry a cold, appraising look. Harry had the impression that the minister was wondering whether it was worthwhile opening hostilities this early.
"Very well, then, together," he said, shrugging.
He cleared his throat.
"I am here, as I'm sure you know, because of Albus Dumbledore's will."
Harry, Ron, and Hermione looked at one another.
"A surprise, apparently. You were not aware, then, that Dumbledore had left you anything?"
"All of us?" said Ron. "Me and Hermione too?"
"Yes, all of..."
But Harry interrupted. "Dumbledore died over a month ago. Why has it taken this long to give us what he left us?"
"Isn't it obvious?"
said Hermione, before Scrimgeour could answer. "They wanted to examine whatever he's left us. You had no right to do that," she said, and her voice trembled slightly.
"I had every right," said Scrimgeour dismissively. "The decree for justifiable confiscation gives the ministry the power to confiscate the contents of a will."
"That law was created to stop wizards passing on dark artifacts," said Hermione, "and the ministry is supposed to have powerful evidence that the deceased's possessions are illegal before seizing them. Are you telling me that you thought Dumbledore was trying to pass us something cursed?"